Well, good morning, everyone. And happy Sabbath. So just a couple of announcements, I just want to emphasize a couple things. I know that many people are anxious to return to church, and I am actually anxious to see everyone as well. And so just to give you an update, we are monitoring our county's progress in terms of COVID-19 on a weekly basis. And so we are targeting September to open up to the public for people to return. But there are stages that we actually have to implement. Stage one for us would be basically 10% capacity. And that number could probably be adjusted since we have a larger church in terms of sanctuary size. But as before, stage one will include that in the sanctuary, people will have to wear masks. And if that's not your choice, then we also have a secondary room with an 82-inch TV with a live feed where you can join us there as well. And as before, we will practice social distancing unless you are family. And so you are familiar with it. We did this back in June. So we understand your concerns, and we will make a board decision in September, which is our next board meeting, and what we're going to do going forward. And so we are also anxious to open the church back up to the public as well. I don't think any one of the leadership is happy with us limiting our services to online, so we understand your concerns. Secondly, to get people kind of reaccustomed to coming out, and there's some people still that may want to come to church, but still may not feel comfortable actually coming inside or in a public area. So we came up with the idea with the drive-in church, and it's not something new that unique to us. Other churches are doing it, but it's a first for us, I believe. And so we're going to have drive-in church August 29th, the last Saturday of this month. We're going to set up outside, like Marcus has said, and you can stay in the comfort of your car, in the air conditioning of your car, and you can tune in on a pre-selected FM station, and you can worship with us together. And if you have a pickup truck and you want to reverse it and you want to lie in the bed of your truck or sit on it, you're welcome too. It's going to be kind of sunny, so that's up to you. But we want people to come together and connect with each other. And one of the ways we're going to do that is from 10:30 to about 10:55, some of our young people, they're going to go around car to car, and they're gonna do Facebook Live, so you can watch other people who has come, like who you haven't seen in a while, through Facebook Live. And so that's one way we're gonna, and they're gonna do interviews, interviewing some cars. So that's something we're implementing so that we can get used to coming out and seeing each other. So with that being said, please keep it in prayer. I would love for us to be able to be in full force once again, but I also weigh heavily the more vulnerable demographics of our membership and the community in general to do what we can to actually keep them safe and healthy, and of course everyone else as well. But we are most concerned with the most vulnerable demographic. Those people that are elderly, have previous existing conditions like diabetes, heart conditions. So that's why we're taking it really safe. I think all of you understand. So with that being said, let's go into our message. And today's message is entitled, Eating Just the Buns. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, as we worship together, may Jesus be at the center of all that we do. Lord, we recognize that it's not about us. It's not about the pastor, it's not about anyone, but it's centered around Jesus. Worship is centered around Jesus. So we pray that will be he will be the primary focus of our time, of our thoughts, and our heart's desire. I guess with that being said, Lord, worship is also a blessing to us. So we ask that your Holy Spirit will lift us up, empower us, inspire us, whether through the music, through the prayer, through the word of God, Lord, inspire us, Lord. May we draw closer to you. And Father, I ask for myself that in humility, you will grant me the words to speak, and it would not be my own message. May the Holy Spirit speak through me. May the Holy Spirit speak to each one that is listening here today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, eating just the bun. And it has to do with what ingredients are you missing in your life? If you can bring up the slide, that'll be great. So, where did I come up with the title? About 20 years ago, I had just decided to be a vegetarian, I decided to go on a plant-based diet. And I really didn't have a good reason for doing it. I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And I was younger at the time. And so I really didn't know why I chose it, but I did it anyway. One day in the evening, I was driving home. I remember that there was a sale at McDonald's for cheeseburgers for 59 cents. And this is a long time ago. I don't even know if like cheeseburgers are 59 cents these days. I haven't been to McDonald's in a while. If I do, I get only the fries. But anyway, this night, I remember that there was a sale on cheeseburgers for 59 cents. And I was hungry, and it was late at night, so I really didn't want to cook, right? So as I'm going, there's a McDonald's where I used to live, close by. So I headed over there. And I didn't go to the drive-thru. I pulled into the parking lot, parked my car, and I walked over inside to the counter. And there was a young lady there, and I remembered that she had blonde hair, and she asked me, how can I help you? So I approached the counter, and I order. I would like to order 2 cheeseburgers, please. And she goes, okay, 2 cheeseburgers. But I said, but can you leave out the cheese? She said, okay, 2 cheeseburgers without your cheese. Then I said, can you also take out the meat too? So she goes, 2 cheeseburgers without the cheese, without the meat. And she pauses for a second. And she goes, so you just want just the buns? And then suddenly I realized what I had done was that I ordered the cheeseburger without the cheese, without the meat, just 2 buns with a splash of ketchup. A little stunned and a little embarrassed, I confidently say, yes, that's exactly what I want. But to her credit, she remained composed, and she successfully completed my order. But I bet you, as soon as I left, she probably ran to the back and announced, you're not gonna believe what just happened here today. A crazy young boy just ordered a cheeseburger without the cheese and the meat. And looking back on that event, I now realize the silliness of that night long ago. How ridiculous it must have looked at me just ordering the buns at McDonald's. What I didn't realize at the time was that healthy lifestyle, changing a diet, which I kind of mentioned last time, was that's not just about taking out like bad stuff, right? The bad food. It's not just about keeping your old dietary habits and merely subtracting the elements you don't want. A healthy vegetarian lifestyle meant that we had to completely replace the unhealthy dietary choices with good foods, right? With healthy foods. But that night, 20 years ago, I failed to understand this concept. And I was left eating just 2 plain hamburger buns. And you can probably guess, those buns weren't that tasty. And did you know, at the time, McDonald's didn't even include pickles in the cheeseburger. So literally, I had just a pair of buns and some ketchup. And yes, you can imagine, it wasn't very satisfying. It wasn't nutritious at all. But have you ever wondered why the Christian walk at times seems bland and boring at times? Why does the Christian walk at times seem to lack power? Why does our walk often seem tasteless, lacks excitement, not completely satisfying. And I would maybe perhaps propose to you that it is because we are merely just eating the buns. It may be that we are lacking the spiritual ingredients which God has provided for us to consume, but we are lacking essential ingredients in our walk with Jesus. There are a great many people who are convinced and convicted that Jesus is Christ and that they have accepted Jesus into their life, but quite often we want to follow Christ our way. By the way, that's Burger King, right? Like, have it your way. But Christ's way is not have it our way. The Christian walk can be compared to this amazing meal that Jesus has set up for us, full of nutrition, full of color and flavor, perfectly prepared for us by Jesus himself. But we are not happy with what Jesus provides, and we want it our way. And we start subtracting parts that do not appeal to us. There are some that seem to have an allergy to humility, so we take humility out of the Christian walk. There are some that we don't like the taste of holiness, so we take that out of the Christian walk. There are some who don't really care for prayer. They understand the necessity of prayer, but they don't really care for prayer as much, so they minimize prayer. Some removed the aspect of modesty from the Christian equation. For others, it's Christian service. Yeah, I don't mind going to church, but I don't like outreach. I don't like Christian service. And so they take out that element of the walk with Christ. For many, they focus on truth, but they leave out loving their neighbor. You get the picture. We often choose how we want to serve Jesus. We often choose what the elements that we want to incorporate into our lives, not knowing that it is a complete meal that God desires for us. And when we do this, subtracting the different elements of following Jesus, we are left just holding the buns, lacking the nutrition, the flavor, the excitement of eating a delicious meal. And we wonder why our walk with Jesus lacks enjoyment, because we have left out the key essential components of walking with Jesus. It is because we are only eating just the buns. We cannot and we will not receive adequate nutrition from just eating buns. We cannot expect a delicious, memorable meal by just eating the buns. But in reality, too many Christians are happy just to eat the buns. And you know what? When we do this, we don't even recognize that we are robbing ourselves of the fullness of knowing Christ. So what are the ingredients of following Christ? A good place to start would be 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And this is not the entirety of it, but this is a good place to start. 2 Peter chapter 1, that's supposed to be verse 5. There's one slide missing. That's okay. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start on verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, seeing that his divine power has granted us to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, that through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And here's verse 5. For this very reason, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And we can also read verse 8 if we wanted to. So the Bible says that we are to add to our faith moral excellence, and by some translations, it says goodness. We are to add to our lives goodness. That is an ingredient that God wants us to incorporate into our lives. Then Peter continues to say, we are to add to goodness, knowledge, and not just any knowledge, but sanctified knowledge, spiritual knowledge, godly wisdom. And I know they might be different things, but we are to not just add any kind of knowledge, but sanctified knowledge. Continuing on, we are to add self-control. The King James Version says temperance. To temperance, we are to add perseverance. And some Bible versions translate that as patience. I know there's probably quite a few of us that may need patience, myself included. I'm the type of person that if I microwave anything, like I had to stand in front of the microwave just like hoping that it will go faster, right? Like I wanted everything instantly. And to self-control, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. These are the ingredients these are the ingredients of the Christian walk as listed by Peter. These are the basic elements of walking with Jesus. But Jesus and other Bible writers add other elements of it, right? Jesus says that, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. Part of the ingredients that Jesus wants us to incorporate into our lives. Not too long after the McDonald's incident, I actually discovered the joys of cooking. Not that I'm really good at it, but I started to learn how to cook. And I learned an important lesson. That lesson is this. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Now, what do I mean by this? Each ingredient in terms of food, literally food, each ingredient may or may not be essentially necessary. Each ingredient may or may not be necessarily enjoyable on its own. But when you have the right combination and the right proportions, the final product becomes more enjoyable than consuming those ingredients individually. Let's take an example of some ingredients. A stick of butter. Maybe there are some people that like to eat a stick of butter, but that doesn't really appeal to me. I've never considered myself eating a stick of butter on its own. Two cups of raw flour. In and of itself, it does not appeal to me. The flour does not appeal to me. Nor does the teaspoon of vanilla extract. Nor does the two raw eggs. As a kid, I tried to eat raw eggs, supposedly because it builds muscle. I could not do it. Nor a cup of sugar. It doesn't appeal to me. Nor a teaspoon of baking soda. When's the last time you ingested baking soda for just as a snack? Or a teaspoon of salt. Personally, none of these ingredients appeals to me at an individual level. But you combine them all together in the right proportions. You add some chocolate chips, bake it at 325 degrees for 15 minutes, you get a delicious chocolate chip cookie. So basically, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You would not want to ingest those ingredients individually, but when you do it together, it becomes something delicious. And I think the Christian walk is very similar. Sometimes the individual parts of the Christian walk may not be appealing to you. But I would argue that these ingredients of the Christian walk were never meant to be consumed by itself. Like a perfect recipe, we were meant to consume it in combination. We are to apply it as a whole. But what would happen, because I didn't like flour, I took that ingredient out of the cookie recipe. That cookie would no longer resemble a cookie. And that maybe it wouldn't even taste like a cookie. Because I have severely compromised one of the essential ingredients that makes a cookie. And I have altered the taste. And I would ask all of you, are the essential ingredients of the Christian walk any different from what we experience in actual cooking? Some time ago, which was many years ago, this is when I was living in Dallas, I was home and I decided to make a meal for myself. And I don't know if you're familiar with Korean food and dishes. I wanted to make something called a traditional dish called bibimbap. It literally means mixed rice, right? You just have rice and some sauce and some vegetables, you just mix it, and it's really hard to get it wrong. It's fairly simple to make and pretty tasty. So as I prepared the necessary ingredients, I was suddenly deluded with like the grandeur of I'm going to be a master chef. Like I'm gonna create something phenomenal. And for some, I mean, maybe I was watching too many shows, cooking shows with Gordon Ramsay or the Cooking Channel, I don't know. But I just thought at that point I could make something amazing. And so I started pulling out ingredients from the cabinet, and I imagined myself to be a master chef, and I was putting a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I caught the corner of my eye, saw something that I had rarely used before, cinnamon. And I took that bottle of cinnamon and I gave it a liberal dash of this brown powder in my rice dish. And when I was done, I was thinking to myself, wow, I just created something amazing. This deserves to be on the Food Network. I had reinvented a traditional Korean dish and it would be glorious. And as I sat down, I took the first bite of my dish, and it was not so amazing. That dish was not a culinary masterpiece, but a culinary disaster. But I learned an important lesson that day, in cooking at least. Cinnamon should never, ever, ever be used in combination with soy sauce and Korean hot pepper sauce. Never, never, never. It just does not work. But there was a spiritual lesson that I learned as well. Generally speaking, some ingredients were never meant to be combined together. And I would dare say that there are some ingredients that we as Christians should never, ever use, literally and spiritually. Kids, anyone know what that is? Yeah, it's a fish. What kind of fish is it? Is it a blowfish or a pufferfish? Do you know people actually eat pufferfish? In Japan, they make sushi out of it, and there's a specific name for it, fugu. Now, fugu is just like raw pufferfish, but do you know pufferfish is known to be extremely poisonous and lethal? Many people have died trying to eat pufferfish. Each fish has enough poison to kill 30 individuals on itself. It is 1,200 times stronger than cyanide. There is no known antidote. You consume enough of it, like there's nothing that anyone can do for you. In fact, a couple years ago, one of the markets, Japanese markets, had sold fugu on their meat section, and by accident, they may have included some of the organs, which were extremely poisonous. So they used their emergency alert system to alert the entire city, like, don't eat. Like, we need to find this potentially poisonous fish. So it's a serious ordeal. And because a fish is so deadly, a sushi chef that wants to prepare fugu has to study at least 3 years minimum to become qualified to serve fugu. And you may be asking, why do people eat fugu? They cut it really thin, by the way. And that's basically how they serve it. Why do people want to eat fugu if it's poisonous? Some would argue it tastes good, but you know, like most people say, fugu doesn't really taste like much. It's actually very doesn't have a lot of flavor to it. The reason is this: initially, in times past, it may be different now, but in times past, the reason people ate fugu was just for a little bit of the poison itself. These expert sushi chefs would prepare the fish so that you would get just enough poison to get a mild buzz from it, but not enough to kill you. Those who have eaten fugu describe a tingling sensation in the throat or tongue. And it might, once again, it might be different these days. I think many fugu chefs have complete now these days avoid the poison altogether. But in times past, that was the interest. You wanted just enough poison to make it exciting. For some, it's just the excitement over the possibility, hey, this meal could kill me. I don't know. That doesn't excite me. But there are people that are excited by that. So you see, most of us would not risk our lives for a meal. We would not accept any level of poison in our food, no matter how small the dose. I don't care if it's just a little bit of rat poison in my drink. I don't want any of it. And I can confidently say that poison should never be an ingredient in our meals, ever. But the reality is, for many Christians, we often take this risk in our walk with God. We want just enough sin in our life to make it exciting and fun and even dangerous. But sin should never have a place in the Christian walk. God does not call us to moderate sin. He calls us to forsake sin. He calls us to surrender it. And I would be bold enough to say there is never a time for sin. And by God's grace, sin is the poison that should never be a part of our walk with Jesus. And the reality is, sin, no matter how harmless it may seem, according to the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death. There's an interesting story in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 38 to 41. It says this. And Elijah returned, the prophet returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. And now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot and brought a boiled stew for the sons of the prophets. So one of them went out into the field, gathered herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew. Though they did not know what they were to the people, that they may eat. There was nothing harmful in the pot. I don't know, this might be a little bit, I hope you're reading it from your version, because my version seems to be a little bit choppy. So they went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew. So they did not know what they were. They served it to the people. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat. So he said, then bring some flour, and he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Elijah asked one of the young servants to prepare a meal. And it is said that Elijah had to feed as many as 100 individuals. And as this young man gathers food in the field, for so many people in a time of famine, he finds himself some wild gourds that resemble some food that he is accustomed to. And he's beside himself. I found these gourds. They're going to be delicious. And most likely these poisonous gourds were something called collinsins. Sometimes it's known as bitter apple. It's also known as a vine of Sodom. Now, not having the wisdom to distinguish the two, he can't believe his good fortune. And he gathers a lapful, and he brings it back and cuts it up and slices it into the stew, not realizing that it was poison. And as the people are eating the stew, the poisonous stew, someone recognizes that there is death in the pot. And here's where Elijah steps in and blesses the food, and the poison is neutralized. How are we to understand this story? The poisonous gourds represent sin. A few poisonous gourds contaminates the entire batch of stew. So it is with sin. A little sin and here and there will eventually poison your entire life and even the whole congregation. Steps to Christ. Even one wrong trait of character, one sinful desire, persistently cherished, will eventually neutralize all the power of the gospel. Every sinful indulgence strengthens the soul's aversion to God. And the rest of it is not up here, but I'll read it anyway. In all the Bible, there is not a more fearful warning against trifling with evil than the words of the wise man that the sinner shall be holden with cords of sin. Satan would have us believe that a little sin here and there is harmless, but sin always has consequences. Satan would have us believe that we can't live without sin, but sin is poison we can live without. And as Elijah's servant added the poison unknowingly, so often we too sin in ignorance. We don't realize what we are consuming is poison before it's too late. But they did it out of ignorance and not willfully. And here's where Elijah steps in to remove the poison, to neutralize the poison. And likewise, when sin is in our lives, it is Christ that steps into our life to remove the sin in our lives, to neutralize the poison of sin in our lives. But do you think at the next meal, because Elijah did this great miracle for them, at the next meal, they're like, you know what? Like, Elijah can neutralize the poison again. Let's add more poisonous gourds to our stew. Because we experience grace, we can experience again. That didn't happen. They learned from their mistake, and they recognized, now they knew how to recognize these poisonous gourds. So it is with us. Just because we experience grace for our past sins does not give us a license to continually do it because of grace. And like the poisonous gourds, we are to learn from it. We are to understand what sin looks like and the consequences of it, and to avoid it from that point on. The lesson we can draw from the poisonous gourds is that there's no poison. There's no place for poison in our lives. There's no place for poison in terms of the ingredients of the spiritual walk. For the Christian, there is no place for sin in our lives. And to accomplish this, we are dependent wholly upon Jesus. I think we recognize that. We cannot overcome sin on our own, but we must be connected with Jesus. We must be aligned with Jesus for victory. As we close, friends, I want to just summarize. In our Christian walks, God has prepared for us this wonderful, beautiful, nutritious, perfect meal with the best ingredients, the right proportions. But we are tempted to think that we know better. So we start picking at those ingredients and start picking away one by one those ingredients that God has provided for us. And eventually, as we do this, we will be only left just holding the buns. And by doing so, we are robbing ourselves of the fullness of the enjoyment of following Christ. Let us not be found just holding and eating just the buns. Finally, the conclusion of the matter is this. There are some ingredients that never belongs in a Christian walk. No matter how little the portion you think it is, or how small the sin is always poison, and it is always deadly. There is no place for sin in any Christian's walk. Not a lot, not a little bit, none at all. My prayer is that by God's grace, that each one of us will live the fullness of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, there's a great meal ready for us in walking with you. But sometimes we're not happy with different parts of that walk, different ingredients, and we are tempted to just pick those ingredients out, not knowing that that is an essential ingredient for the whole recipe, Lord, for the whole recipe of the Christian walk. My prayer is that we would be able to trust you and to walk with you as you see fit and not pick away the things that we do not desire. Help us to trust you in this matter. And the other aspect is this, Lord. Lord, there's poison in our lives we want you to remove. Sometimes we invite poison into our lives. Well, Lord, help us with this as well. May we each have victory in Jesus fully, Lord. We commit ourselves into your hands. Thank you for your blessings. And we go forward in faith, believing that you will continue to keep us and bless us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.